today's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News. News of today through the papers of yesterday. And a happy new year to you all. Well, after the Christmas festivities, it's back to the mundane business of hard news. And it doesn't go much harder than the current problems with the steam packet, it might seem. Whether that's tide, or weather, or boat, or industrial action. Is it new? Of course, none of it is. All been seen before. If we go back perhaps to 1898, the Isle of Man Examiner, Saturday, July the 23rd. The Isle of Man Steam Packet Company and their seamen. A short-lived strike, we are told. Considerable sensation caused among residents and visitors to Douglas when the intelligence spread early on Thursday morning. The crews of several of the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company's vessels had struck work. It appears the sailors on the Empress Queen, Queen Victoria, Prince of Wales, King Ory, Tynwald and Mona's Isle have in the past been expected to embark and disembark passengers' luggage sent in advance. The men contend this is not in sailors' work and that they are fully employed in the ordinary work of the ship. About a week ago, a letter was sent by the men of each of the big steamers to the manager asking that this work should be taken off them. The concession was not granted by the company, and on Thursday morning, the sailors agreed to take a more forcible step to obtain redress of the grievance and went on strike. The company, we understand, offered to relieve the sailors of the work objected to when their vessel was doing a double journey, but that they must deal with the luggage on days when the vessel was only doing the single journey. The Empress Queen's men agreed to this, and no difficulty arose with them on Thursday. The Empress Queen sailed for Liverpool at 9 o'clock, the men handling the ropes as usual, in spite of the jeers and hooting of the strikers on the pier, who abused them roundly as scabs, and so on. The King Ory was to sail to Fleetwood at 9:15 a.m, the Tynwald to Ardrossan at 10 a.m, and the Mona's Isle around the island at 10:30. The crews of these vessels did not take the same view of the company's terms as the Empress Queen's crew, and the work of casting off and the other incidental work on these vessels had to be done by the stokers, pursers and other men on board, even the understewards being called into requisition. The steamers got away without any trouble. The directors of the company met in the forenoon. Captain Reed of the Queen Victoria acted as his go-between. The result was that at about 1 o'clock, word was conveyed to the 50-odd men on strike that their demand had been conceded, and that they were to join their vessels as soon as they came to Douglas. The sailors of the Prince of Wales, which arrived at 2:15 p.m, were informed of the turn of events had taken, and they agreed to join the strikers immediately on reaching Douglas. The men were all at work again yesterday. Quite how some felt about being called scabs by others isn't reported. In the Manx Sun of Saturday, September the 9th, 1899, Manxland and the Seamen Strike. The strike of sailors and firemen in England will not affect the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company, we're told, or its employees. The men are, in fact, in receipt of a higher scale of pay than is demanded and appear well satisfied. A few discontents attempted to cause friction on the Queen Victoria, but they were promptly disposed of, and their places were easily filled up by others. Don't know if you get away with that now. It is stated that unionists refused to work with non-unionists and that this was the cause of disaffection, which, however, only assumed a mild form, 7 or 8 being concerned. If any of the men were disposed to create any difficulty, the present being an approach to the end of the season, it would be an inopportune time. There is, however, no fear of trouble here. We understand that the Ben McCree, being up in the mud, some of her firemen and others have gone across the water with a view to offering their services in case of emergency. Something a bit more violent in 1933, the Mona's Herald, Tuesday, July the 4th, Manx seamen mobbed in Dublin, attacked by strikers, bricks thrown and rifles fired, and a young Peel sailor had a narrow escape. The Manx crew, which sailed in the steamer Assaro, formerly the SS Yarrow, from Douglas on Sunday morning, found themselves faced with a hostile mob, 400 or 500 strong, when the vessel berthed at Eden Quay in Dublin. The Assaro, which sails between Dublin, Douglas and Sirth, arrived in Douglas last Thursday night, manned only by the officers, the 3 engineers, 2 stewards, a greaser, donkeyman and the carpenter. The Irish sailors with which the ship had been manned, having joined the seamen's strike, which has crippled Irish Free State shipping since the beginning of last week. On arrival at Douglas, a crew of 10 consisting of four ABs, two deck boys and four firemen, most of them Manxmen, was signed on. The steamer made the trip to Silloth and reached Douglas again in the early hours of Sunday morning. She left for Dublin around 2:30 a.m. and arrived in Dublin around 10:30. When she reached the Eden Quay, the great mob took up a most menacing attitude. They commenced hurling bricks and other missiles at the men, rifle and revolver shots were fired over the ship, and the most blood-curdling threats were used. As the vessel was being moored to the quayside, one of the ABs, a young Manxman named Thomas Clucas, hailing from Peel, had a narrow escape from serious injury. He was engaged in coiling a rope being bent down at the time when a large firebrick was hurled at him from the quayside. It whizzed past his head and struck him on the body, smashing his watch into smithereens. Doesn't sound good at all. If we skip forward to 1941, the Times, the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, September the 6th. Bacon shortage in the island. Now this is getting serious. Fresh supplies at the weekend. Supplies of butter, bacon and eggs from Eire to the island have been held up for a week by a seaman strike in Dublin for extra wages. The result is that many shops in the island had little or no bacon on Thursday morning and no eggs. The butter ration is not affected, in the middle of the war of course, because several weeks' supply is always stored in the island, but it is up to the retailers to look after their own bacon supplies. The strike has been settled, and new supplies will arrive in good time to ensure that the Sunday rasher will be available. I'm amazed there was any bacon available in the middle of the war in many ways. 1947 we go to now, the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, February the 15th, interrupted sailings from Liverpool. Now this is more problems we hear about again to do with tides. Unsafe to berth steamers at piers in strong southeast winds. The steamer sailings from Liverpool were much disrupted during the week. In fact, from last Thursday until Monday, we had no passengers sailing from the Merseyside. The cause for this postponement of sailing was given as a heavy swell in Douglas Harbour, rendering berthing at either of the piers unsafe. The Mona's Queen, in fourth day at Liverpool stage, was the subject of many pictures and news paragraphs in the English press. She arrived in Douglas 7:30 on Monday morning, and some of the 200 passengers stated that they were first on the Manxmaid for Friday's sailing, but the departure of the steamer was cancelled and they transferred to the Queen. The Mona's Queen on Monday morning made a quick turnaround and was off to Liverpool again in about an hour and a half. On Tuesday and Wednesday, there were more virtual midnight sailings from Liverpool, but on Thursday it was stated that, weather permitting, the normal sailing sheet would be adhered to. As a footnote, we're told, the Mona's Queen has a humanitarian crew. Good to know. During the enforced stay at Liverpool over the weekend, members found some day-old chicks among the cargo. These chicks were 4 days old when they reached their destination, but they were all hale and hearty. They had been fed by the crew in the interim. Old softies, young softies maybe. 1951 in the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, September the 8th. We are told the meat ration is safe. Rationing was still in force after the war, of course. Manx meat supplies will not be endangered by the Irish seaman strike. It had been reported that Irish livestock exporters had stated that their normal shipments of store cattle might be held up weekly. At this time of the year, there is fortunately a glut of Manx cattle coming off grass, while there is still a reserve of Irish cattle. And a seaman strike in 1960, reported in the Isle of Man Examiner, Thursday, September the 8th, moves to end the seaman strike begin in Douglas. The Isle of Man became the central point in the seaman strike this week when three mediators travelled from Liverpool to see Sir Thomas Yates, General Secretary of the National Union of Seamen, who's attending the Trades Union Congress in Douglas. Alderman Simon Mann, MP for Bootle, Mr. S. Fraser, Secretary of the Liverpool Trades Council, and Councillor E. Heffer, Vice President of the Liverpool Trades Council, came by steamer on Monday, and during the afternoon, Sir Thomas met Alderman Mann at Fort Anne Hotel, along with Mr. J. Scott, Assistant Secretary of the NUS. With a break midway through, the discussions went on until midnight, and the Liverpool visitors left on Tuesday with certain ideas to discuss. Sir Thomas said that the discussions had been inconclusive, and there would need to be a further meeting. Alderman Mann expressed hope of an improvement and, with his colleagues, expressed some satisfaction with the talks. At the opening of the TUC, pickets paraded outside the Villa Marina carrying placards directed at Sir Thomas Yates. Does some of that sound familiar? Doesn't really change that much, does it, one way or another, over the years. It might be news now, with the problems with the sailing, but of course, it's old news. We'll see you, perhaps with some brighter news, next week. Cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.